The Navajo Nation is at the center of the coronavirus pandemic, and over the weekend they hit a grim milestone, 100 deaths related to COVID-19. There have been more than 3,000 positive cases there, and the numbers keep growing. The city of Gallup, New Mexico, was under lockdown until Monday as cases there rose, especially among the homeless population, and healthcare workers were stretched thin. So now let's hear from one of those healthcare workers. Eileen Ulku is a clinician educator at the University of California, San Francisco, and she specializes in global healthcare. She's worked in Africa and has had a relationship with the Navajo Nation as part of UCSF's HEAL initiative. Now she's volunteering in Gallup, living in a hotel and treating patients at a local hotel where they are quarantined. She sees 25 to 30 patients a day in full personal protective gear there and told me the work is deeply gratifying and difficult.
We are in 4 different motels. I am assigned to one motel, and there are anywhere between 50 and 57 patients who have come because they were either unsheltered, unhoused, and are very vulnerable to getting much sicker from coronavirus, or they are, some of our patients have been living and do live in very large communities, multi-generational homes where they are very afraid of putting their family members at risk. And so they either have symptoms or have been positive, and so they come to the hotels and we take care of them. And I would say of the, at any given time, 50 people who are in just the motel that I am going and monitoring and helping out, I would say 90% of patients are positive for coronavirus. So it's an enormous, it is a little bit obviously biased in that we know that they're there, we know they need to shelter, and so they are in the motel, but it's very widespread, and we know that there are a lot of people who are asymptomatic who are not even coming to attention.
But we've had conversations like this on the show before, but I want to briefly talk about, because it matters here, what leads to this? What are some of the sort of historical and difficult conditions that have led to an outbreak in a place like this?
Absolutely. I mean, I certainly don't purport to be an expert, but I can speak to the larger situation in which I've worked in a lot of limited resource settings, meaning there is little access to clean water. There's a lot of challenges to getting nutritious food that allows for better health and well-being. Distances are far and jobs are few, and there's a lot of movement in order to be able to make a living and to support one's family. I mean, this is a situation that we see in those who are not supported through societal changes or equitable distribution of resources, that is also what we are seeing in many of our indigenous population and communities. And so if you look at the rates of cardiovascular disease, look at the rates of diabetes, look at the rates of people living with lung disease because of the way that they have to cook, you know, whether it produces a lot of smoke. And so that does what we call the social determinants of health, which means how we live and what resource we have literally dictates our well-being and our health. And what we're seeing here, which is actually such an incredibly beautiful thing, that as someone who is Middle Eastern, we have this as well. The way that I grew up is multi-generational homes and large family clusters, and it's such an incredible part of our well-being overall. And yet this does make it where if one family member comes in with coronavirus, it can make a lot of family members sick, and especially targeting the elderly. Unfortunately, this virus can be really powerful. And so these are a lot of the structural pieces that come into play. And we are in lockdown right now. And Gallup is, again, as I understand it, I mean, this is a very important public health initiative and action, but it also comes with a consequence of this does deny communities the water that they need, the livestock supplies that they need, you know, other things that actually is critical to survival. And so how does one balance trying to reduce the spread of this virus, which is putting so many community members at risk, whereas also not having access to basic necessities of life can be really, really harmful. And it's a really tough situation that is, and I fear and I hear that it is this another perpetration of denial of resource to our Indigenous communities, even though it is meant in the best way of protection? What are the other unforeseen consequences, and how is that going to affect our First Citizens? And that is something that I think weighs on everyone as we're trying to balance the pandemic versus otherwise well-being.
What ways do you think we, our government, whether it's federally or state or locally, or just the community around Gallup or around the Navajo Nation here in Arizona, you know, what are ways you think that we should be doing more?
I think this has shown us that if we can get shelter and caring for anyone, we can help their well-being. I mean, I know that this is super obvious in some ways, but we haven't put our resources as a society, as a world, toward making sure that that is the case, that all of us feel safe, that we have the necessities in life such that we can actually live fulfilling and healthy lives. Because ultimately what we're also seeing is so many community members who are struggling from incredible historical trauma for generations and potentially end up self-medicating with substances. And there have been some patients who have said to us, I have not been able to be abstinent for this long because they didn't have shelter. They didn't have meals that were guaranteed. They didn't have that support. It's their own work that's doing it, but they're feeling the support. And so this will heal a community. This will heal so much of our society that there aren't so many marginalized. And so truly finding a way to give shelter that we are able to do is just, it's focusing on that and putting our efforts toward that. And then the other is really, how do we allocate resources? And it is absolutely partly, how do we get more oxygen machines? How do we get more ventilators? How do we get more healthcare workers who have the skills that are needed to these communities? But it's also fundamentally, when we do have a proven antiviral, don't keep it clustered in the big cities. Don't keep it clustered where it's easier to reach. Target it primarily and first to communities that where prevention and supportive treatment has more challenges. So get the medications that work first to those villages, to the towns, to the areas where it's harder to get more doctors and machines and oxygen, where, you know, someone may be able to get through it with additional support, but we don't have that support. And we have not proven that to be our action or our, I would say, even intention in our society, that these are the kinds of things that we need to do, where not hoarding that resource, but give it freely and openly. And I think one of the last themes that I would say is, I hope that the country and the world has a deep memory and really feels and understands and sees that we are all connected. We all rise or fall together. If this virus has proven anything, it's that anyone's vulnerable, and we are a global community that has to act that way.
All right. That is Eileen Ulku, an associate clinical professor at UCSF. Thank you so much for joining us, Eileen. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.